Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Hey, Ash.
I'm sorry. I'm happy, really. Just, I don't know, overwhelmed. Keep talking, please.
Okay, let's just, take off. We've got an apartment. Anywhere. Vancouver.
I hate to leave you.
So don't leave me.
I have to go to my dad's.
Why? Hey, I have food here.
He's my dad.
But I'm your Craig.
Everybody, welcome once again to your favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. And listeners, I just wanted to let you know how much we love you. We're so in love with you. You're so perfect. We just want to bottle you and get drunk on you forever. We want to chew your lips off and suck out one of your eyes and then put you in a cage in our basement forever so we never have to be apart. Wait! Where are you going? What do you mean this isn't your favorite podcast?
Hello.
I'll be your host tonight for part one. Season 4, episode 11, Voices Carry. And let's find out which other progressively sweaty, unhinged teenagers are joining me today. Let's head out straight to the East Coast.
Ooh, that'd be me. I've escaped the chains in Arlo's basement, and I flew back to Newfoundland. So here I am. I get squirrely when I get tied up too long. Mm. So I'm back. I'm back here. I'm Ted.
According Hello. To Skype, you're Ted too, actually. So,
ooh, is there another Ted out there?
I don't know, but you sent a new address, and it's Ted Power 2.
So new and improved Ted.
Yeah. The sequel. Could it be?
Maybe the first guy on was the Ted from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I mean, it could have been.
Well, I don't know how I would get there. I guess I got to take a ferry. I'll take my truck. Actually, I'm missing my boys out there in their convoy. I'm missing it this weekend. But I know who's not missing it. He's calling from his big rig. Teddy boy to big man. NTO, oh, care of Ottawa. He's out in front of Parliament. He's going to give him what for.
Is this me?
It's you.
Hold on here. Give me a quick sec. Let's see if I can get this going here.
Blow that horn.
There we go. There we go.
Are you? Alan's gritting his teeth and grabbing his crotch, and he's like, oh, yeah. This is my national anthem.
Beep, 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 beep. Hi, everybody.
Hello, baby.
I'm in Toronto. I'm Alan. Glad to be with you. And now, let's get a report from the heart of the action this weekend in Canada. What is going on up in O-Town, Courtney? Did you make it home?
Pulling in.
Uh-huh. Oh, she's just backing up. Okay.
That's right. I am at the heart of Freedom Nation.
That's my favorite Janet Jackson song. We're in the heart of the Freedom Nation.
I think Janet's here tonight, live.
Uh-huh.
Parliament Hill. Yeah, that's right. I am here in the capital city where all the action is supposed to be going down. Thousands and millions of truckers are coming.
Yeah, like, how are you going to support 400 million people that are coming to...
I'm going to make some sandwiches for them and sing O Canada while I do it.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I mean, freedom always finds a way, right?
If you have a backlog in your supply chain, which is rare because there are no truckers, but if you have a backlog of fuck Trudeau flags, I know somewhere where you could probably sell all of them this weekend.
They'd be snapped up like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot demand. They can maybe turn them into some blankets to sleep under because there's nowhere else for them to stay.
For our American and worldwide listeners. I just want
to give a quick rundown.
Yeah, Courtney, what's going on?
Fuck. Yeah, so we're really pulling a U.S. wannabe situation here. We have truckers have decided that they want to protest the vaccine mandates that have been imposed on them.
Hashtag not all truckers.
Not all truckers. Hashtag like 5% of truckers.
It's just at the border. It doesn't. There's nothing that affects interprovincial travel either. It's just the U.S.-Canada border.
And the United States has vaccine mandates as well for these truckers. So really, none of this makes any sense. But truckers from all over the country are apparently driving to Ottawa, and they're arriving today and tomorrow to protest something. Vaccine mandates. They said they're going to park in front of Parliament Hill until Trudeau resigns. That's cool. And it probably will happen.
Well, have you seen footage yet?
I have. I saw two people standing on Parliament Hill this afternoon.
No, there's a lot more there now. They've all flooded into downtown and they're driving around honking their horns. Like, for people in Ottawa, that's what would happen if your hockey team won a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. You'll never know, but that's what would happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's laughable that people think that Theo Fleury, a prolific ex-hockey player, thinks that like hundreds of thousands of people are going to be descending on Ottawa this weekend, which is entirely not true. If anybody's familiar with downtown Ottawa, you can't even run city buses properly through the downtown core because it's so small. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see.
They claimed that this convoy of truckers stretched all the way across the province of Manitoba at one point.
My favorite, which I have shared with Ted and Barry already, is one lady informed us that 20,000 truckers are coming from Newfoundland over on the ferry. They might be a bit late, though, because they have to take the ferry.
Like, yep.
How late? 7 years late, probably.
I got some mileage on Twitter when I, because initially my thought was like, that's a lot of work, like, especially if you're in BC, like, you're going to fucking pay for gas and go for days driving across the country to get to Ottawa because you don't want to take a shot. Like, just, it's a lot less work to take a shot. And then I thought, even more ridiculous is one of their claims is that the shot is unsafe. So you're going to drive across Canada over like daytime and nighttime in the dead of winter. Like, mm-hmm. And be like, well, that's safer.
Not to mention all of these supporters with their fucking kids out on like highway overpasses on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Waving at these fucking trucks. Super safe.
It's just kind of, I mean, for those who don't know, it's just sort of turned into overtime into sort of this right wing propaganda thing, and sort of extremists mm-hmm. have like glommed onto it. So, you know, what sort of started as like a protest of truckers has turned into this big like anti-vaccine in general situation, and there's all kinds of propaganda about it and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, I guess to the protest, the original protesters' credit, they have denounced the more extreme fringes that have glommed onto this movement in the media. Like, I mean,
I guess, but look what you attract. Like,
they, I mean, I'm sorry, I wouldn't even
not on the side of
yes. No, of course you're not.
protest. But like, I do respect a right to peaceful protest, although I don't agree with like disrupting traffic with your trucks and making it more difficult for police and all of that stuff like that. But like, generally speaking, I do respect a right to protest.
I think we all could say that, but you know, when your protesters are carrying like nooses and hang, you know, like dolls of you know, the prime minister saying that he deserves to be hung.
I mean, I do like appreciate that the actual organizers have denounced that kind of behavior. Not that it necessarily changes the behavior or helps anything.
Anyway.
Like, credit where credit is due.
I will say I don't even believe they're denouncing it. I think they just have to do that to save face for their fake money laundering GoFundMe account.
Shout out to Jake Goldsby, who of course plays Toby Isaacs on Degrassi, The Next Generation, who posted Canadian media covering anti-vaxxers, and it's a picture from The Simpsons of a guy talking to a woman who is holding Maggie Simpson that says, "Oh my lord, stupid babies need the most attention." Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
So, go Canada. Big weekend here, everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
Can't wait. Good times.
So, anybody have Omicron yet?
No.
Nope. Not I.
Yeah, what gives?
Come on, guys.
I was promised COVID.
I had a stuffy nose and a scratchy throat this week. So, I was just like, oh, I have it for sure. And I've taken 3 rapid tests and they all came back negative. So, I mean, I'm not saying that false negatives aren't possible, but theoretically, I don't have it.
No, those are wrong. You have it. So, the end.
Take it from Alan. He knows.
Dr. Alan. He has one of those lights on his head and the white trench coat. It's like, you have it. I'll write it down on my bill.
I also like how, like, those 3 tests that you just used are probably worth $5,000 in Ontario.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, I just took 3 tests. We're like, we'd love to have 3 tests.
Yeah.
I still have, like, 3 more boxes, too. So,
land of plenty.
Yeah. Right?
But also, we have restrictions at all. Our government is putting every bit of stock into those tests.
The school boards here, the provincial government had said that every child in a publicly funded school will be receiving 2 rapid tests.
Two.
Yes. So that's stupid at a number, like, 2, why? We just got ours today. School was back, last Monday. In order to give out 2 per kid, they come in boxes of 5. So they had to have the teachers open every box and separate them and put 2 in like a Ziploc bag for each fucking student and hand them out.
So smart. I love, like, our government.
Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? I'd go to a convoy to protest that, but.
Where's my convoy?
Where's my convoy?
All right. Yeah. Anyways. All
right. So, Degrassi, Voice Carry Part 1. Shall we get into it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, the Canadian air date on this one was November 2nd, 2004. And then a few months later in the U.S., February 25th, 2005, the writer for this one is Sean Raycraft, which we may have seen before, but not often, I don't think. And then director was good old Phil Earnshaw. And the title of this one is based on the song Voices Carry by a band called Till Tuesday. And I'm hoping that Alan can give us a little information about it.
Hush, hush, keep it down now. Huh? Huh? That's lyrics from the song.
Keep it down now.
Voices Carry! Yeah, it was, I guess, Till Tuesday is, I guess they're a one-hit wonder because Voices Carry ended up kind of being their only single of real note. They did release 3 albums and about 8 singles, but Voices Carry charted the highest. It reached number 8 in the U.S. and number 15 in Canada. Nothing else that they released even came close. I do want to say, if you have not listened to it, Believed You Were Lucky by Till Tuesday, amazing song. And
totally worth searching out, like 100% worth searching out. Drops F-bombs in it. It's fucking great.
Whoa.
In fact, that's, I believe, the exact words that she uses at the end. But anyways, not much else to say. They're an American band. Voices Carry is fine.
1985.
Yeah, there's not... I mean, I don't... It's fine. It's fine, you know. By the way, to hear more of me talking about 80s songs where I don't just say things like, it's fine, over the next week, releasing a new podcast, the Super Hits Podcast. We're going to talk a little bit more at length about 80s music every single episode. So I'm sure I will plug that all over our social media accounts for this podcast because I'm a ho.
Do you know what your first episode is on?
It's already been recorded.
Oh, it's a secret.
Yeah, it's a very poorly done job by me talking about 1999 by Prince, but it will get better.
Is it just you, or is it you and Jamie?
Me and Jamie for now, and then we'll see where we go. You know.
So does anyone have any theories of why this episode maybe is called Voices Carry?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Craig is crazy and he hears voices in his head. I'm so assuming. Pretty you know?
I think also, like, the song itself, it's a little bit, it's sung in kind of a paranoid way about someone, like, thinking someone doesn't love you kind of thing, I guess.
He wants me, but only part of the time. Yeah.
So, yeah. There we go. So I did also want to say there is a lot of music credits in the episode, and I did do my best to identify what I could, particularly if the track is by an actual band. However, there are several tracks that only have writer credits, not performer credits, so I'm not sure if they were written maybe specifically by Degrassi composers and they were never released, or if they used like studio stock musicians. So some of those were impossible to tell what they were, but I did try.
That's all we can ask.
Mm-hmm. In the pre-credit opener, Ashley and Craig are back together. They seem to be very back together. They are making out on the steps of the school. There's all of this gross, like, just one more kiss. Just one more. No, I love you more. No, I love you more. Like that kind of, yeah, barf, right? And we learn that Ashley's dad's wedding to his partner, Christopher, is coming up quickly. Ashley's mom pulls up, and she does not seem thrilled to see Ashley with Craig. And presumably it's because she knows what happened to cause their last breakup. And to recap, that would be Craig cheating on Ashley and impregnating Manny.
I mean, imagine living so in technical. I mean, poor Ashley, obviously. Like, she got fucked over hard by Craig, but her mom
not
had to
as much
live
as
with
Manny. Sorry, go ahead.
Boing. But she had to live in that house with her for like fucking 6 months. So I would be a little annoyed too.
Yeah.
So Craig tells Ashley that he'll call her later that night, but her mom just flat out tells him not to bother.
It's cold, stone cold.
Don't call, you piece of shit.
Yep. So there is no mistaking that she does not like Craig being back in the picture. And then we get the happy theme music.
Can I just say, before we get further into this episode, I was reading the online comments on the Degrassi Wiki, and it appears that a lot of people really enjoyed these episodes. I fucking hated them. Like, I think that this might be the like, for the last little while, I've been like, yeah, these new episodes are fine. Like, but this is one of the first in a while where I'm like, nope.
Really, eh?
Yep.
Wow, why?
We'll get into it.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely didn't hate them as much as you seem to.
Oh. Me neither.
No.
There's definitely several parts of this episode where I was like, what? But I don't know if it translated into pure rage and hatred.
I mean, the whole premise of Craig and Ashley even being back together in the first place is stupid as fuck. Like,
well, when you're a teenager, you do stupid things like that.
Get someone pregnant? Like, another person? Come on. That's a little extreme. And, like, you know, this a school that's so fucking chatty and rumor-filled, like Degrassi, they're all like, they all knew it, right? They all put Manny through the ringer. You don't think that they're all going to be like, oh, she went back to him? Like, come on.
So in school the next day, Ashley is sitting with Craig in the hall. She's rehearsing what she's going to tell her mom about Craig. They're both lamenting about the situation with her mom. And suddenly we hear an accordion playing. And Craig and Ashley walk towards the sound, and they find Spinner and Marco with a boombox. And they're playing the recording that they were forced to make after Craig ran out of the recording session. And so they decided to stick with the accordion, and Marco's singing. And Spinner tells Craig that it's the finished product because he abandoned them, and he dumps out all of the CDs at Craig's feet. And Marco tells him that it's the last single that Downtown Sasquatch will ever put out, and they are clearly still very angry at Craig.
Yeah, and this is the only time we see Spinner in both of these episodes. Spinner, who in a few episodes from now, we're going to find out is like gravely tormented over what happened to Drake and his role in it. We see like not a hint of this in this episode, the one where they were recording the dumb song. Like there's just nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's time here. Could we plant some seeds? You know, same with Craig, by the way. Like, we know Craig's got problems, but like, and we're going to find out what happens at the end of these two episodes. But like, have we been laying any groundwork for this? Anything?
I mean, he did jump in front of a train at one point.
I guess so. But I mean,
it was a fun episode.
His dad was alive then. Ago. Yeah. He'd get over it.
Every time I watch an episode like this, I'm like, did I miss something? Like, was I not paying attention somewhere where there was hints that, you know, Craig might be suffering from mental illness?
I mean, he did run out of $10,000 recording session.
Yeah, so but they couched that as normal, as like his love. I don't know. I didn't get the sense that he was bonkers.
That was the like heroic love story ending is how they portrayed that. Not the what the fuck is going on in this kid's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe if that was her attempt at kind of giving us a little lead up to this, I don't think it worked very well. But that's par for the course with this series. Like, this shit always just comes out of nowhere. Oopsies, you have bipolar. Well,
oh, spoiler. Well,
DeGrasse also reminds us that Craig leaving the recording session was actually a big romantic gesture because Ashley tells Craig not to worry because they're back together and that she's really happy.
Barf. I didn't.
Great.
That's not the lesson I learned.
So we get to our B plot now. Manny, JT, and Liberty are walking in the hall, and apparently Liberty has written a play that is an adaptation of Dracula. That's fun. Liberty.
Again, what? What the fuck? Where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
She is second-guessing herself going forward with the play, but JT and Manny try to encourage her. JT is apparently the director, and he tells her that she is talented and brilliant, and then gives her a box of muffins.
Yes!
There you go. The
marvelous muffins. I don't think that was in the States. I think that's purely Canadian.
Is it?
I think so.
Do they still exist? I should have looked that up.
Let me type in muffins onto Google.
How many M's? How will you know?
Was a Canadian restaurant chain. Closed. I know there was a Toronto location, which they say closed in 2020. There was a location at, I believe, the Eglinton subway station here in Toronto for a while, but I think they're gone now. So no more. Yeah. So, no more muffins.
So, JT's comments seem to fortify Liberty a little bit. In media immersion room, it's apparently study period, but Craig and Ashley are doing what I guess is the 2004 equivalent of passing notes, which is instant messaging each other on their computers. Craig wheels his chair over to Ashley's and gives her a pack of paper, which apparently is a bunch of songs. and we learn that he's been staying up at night writing songs.
So red flag number one, I think, here, right?
Mm-hmm. I will say that, like, they do a good job of making Craig look progressively sweatier.
They do.
Over time of these two episodes that we're getting into.
Well done.
Yeah. So, you know, he's starting to look a little, you know, sort of bags under his eyes. He hasn't been sleeping well.
Yeah, frantic.
Yeah. Snake tells them to get back to work, but Craig completely ignores Snake. He tells Ashley that he could have waited to show her the songs, but he wanted to know what she thinks now. And Snake's having none of it. He comes over and slaps the desk and says, "Craig," louder. And Craig goes from like 0 to 10, suddenly super aggro, and jumps up and says, "What?" And Snake tells him to go to the computer in the corner, but Craig basically tells Snake to go fuck himself. And Snake calls out to him as he's leaving that he should go to the office, but it's pretty obvious that he's not going to go to the office. And Ashley seems a little bit like, what the fuck, about his outburst.
Craig's line, Snake says it's study period or whatever, and Craig says, "Well, you could study my butt leaving." So good for him. So because what happens with Snake doesn't happen until the next episode that we're going to cover a week from now, I will say it now. So apparently in the next episode, Snake is at Joey's place helping them paint and overhears Joey talking about Craig having all these problems. And only then is he like, you know, Craig's having some problems at school. Like, so apparently this whole incident... not mentioned by Snake, who is not only Joey's son's teacher, but also Joey's best friend. So,
didn't mention, like, hey, you know, Craig basically told me to go fuck myself in my class today.
I had a common look at me. I'm a gangly gangle.
I mean, at least you wanted me to fuck something. You know that summer I spent? No, we won't get into it again.
Blue balls, the pool. Ladies not liking me, then the drunk girls at the pond, kid shaped dent in the trunk, bag of chips, Lucy. Yeah.
All right. After a study period in the hall, Ashley's asking Craig if he's calmed down a little bit, and he says everyone's trying to separate them.
So dramatic.
Yeah, and Ashley's like, well, were they though? Like, we were talking in class. And so Craig starts in on her, like, whose side are you on? When are you gonna talk to your mom? Like, poor me. I fucked Manny and now the rehearsal dinner's gonna be weird.
I just can't.
And so Ashley's like, maybe you shouldn't come to the wedding. So. And then Craig's like, you don't want me there. And Ashley's like, sure I do, Craig. And then Craig storms off.
But also we're supposed to believe that Ashley is still also like, I love you so much. This is what I
sweaty,
wanted.
Sweaty man.
Yeah, this is what I always wanted. Like, it's, you know, they just got back together an episode ago, right? And we know that Craig is obviously dealing with his mental health. So the idea that Craig could spiral into this state is something that we're supposed to believe. But Ashley is not. Like, why is, you know? Like, yeah. she can see it. But she's like, I guess it's okay. And it's like, you just got back together with the guy who fucked somebody else and got them pregnant. You've been together for like a week and you're like, I'm so into this. I'll just put up with this bullshit. Like, no.
I think that's a little bit something that you gain with like age and wisdom kind of thing. Like, the last episode took place in November of 2004. This episode also takes place in November of 2004. So they have not been back together for very long. And like, I think when you get older and stuff starts to go wrong quickly after you start dating someone, you're a lot more likely to recognize, like, if it's this hard this early, it's not going to work out. And I do think it took a long time, for me at least, to recognize that.
Well, and yeah, and as a teenager, being able to recognize that, you know, someone you're in a relationship with has a mental illness probably isn't the easiest thing to do.
But I really like this guy. I love him.
He's so passionate. Energetic. Sweaty.
So sweaty. So Craig storms off. In the next scene, I guess we're in drama class, drama club. Not really sure if they've assigned roles yet or if they're just practicing for auditions or what.
Who knows?
But Manny and Alex, who is surprisingly into extracurricular activities lately. Mm-hmm.
What is Alex doing in drama? Like, I don't want to stereotype, but... Never. Let's be honest. Like Alex would not be in drama.
No.
I mean, since she became vice president of the school, she seems like she's been a lot more interested in extracurricular activities, right? Which, I don't know.
Sure.
Well, I think we're kind of led to believe because the play is sort of dark and it's, you know, it's about Dracula. So she thinks
cool. She likes things kind of gross.
Yeah.
And then we get new character, Nate.
Yes.
He has no last name. And they are practicing a scene. So this actor, who is still acting and doing quite well, his name is Jonathan Kelt. And I'm not familiar with this TV show, but on the Degrassi Wiki, I noticed that apparently many people associate him with a 2013 to 2017 TV series called Rain, where he plays a character named Leith.
Leith.
And so all kinds of people were like, I can't see him as anyone but Leith. I'm not familiar with it, but if you're wondering where you know him from, maybe it's there. He was also a recurring character on Entourage, recurring on Republic of Doyle. He's popped up in a lot of different series like CSI Miami and various other TV movies here and there. So he's been working up to 2021. So in case you're wondering if he looks familiar.
On Entourage. Interesting.
Yeah, he's very handsome, grown up. But the bell rings, and we see that Ms. Kwan and Mr. Radich have been observing this rehearsal, practice, audition.
Radich looks so bored.
Well, Ms. Kwan seems pleased.
She seems really excited.
Not so much. And he sternly asks to have a word with her. And then Emma comes up to Liberty and congratulates her on the play. And I guess they're friends again?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yep.
How?
There was no moment where things got, like, cool between them. It just, this is it. They're friends.
I mean, the last few episodes, whenever Emma said anything to Liberty, Liberty's had, like, a snarky comeback because of what Emma did to her with Chris. Mm-hmm. So, like, Emma's like, the play's really great. I would expect Liberty to be like, you know, be great if you got in my fucking face.
Thanks. Also, out of nowhere, like, I understand that we haven't established yet that JT is into Liberty, but he's clearly not annoyed by her anymore, wants to hang out with her.
Spending... have a friendship that's happening.
Yeah, it's like, this, I don't think was... I mean, I guess, actually, you know what? No, I'll cut them a little bit of slack. I guess they might have established this when they went to that dance together, and then, you know, the next year we're dating other people or whatever, and it was cool. I don't know.
They've been working on the play together, and they'd known each other forever. Maybe they just have a rapport now.
Sure.
She has a hot tub.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a bonus.
I mean, she saw his wiener, and she's still talking to him, so maybe he's like, all right, cool.
His little half stack of dimes.
Yep.
She's like, that's fine.
It was a full stack of dimes. It's okay.
Oh.
Especially after the pump.
Especially.
Mm-hmm. So Manny gives her the thumbs up. Everyone's like, oh, Liberty, the play is great. And Liberty and JT smile at each other. So we then cut to Radich, who is with Liberty and JT in his office, and he has a big problem with the play in light of the recent gun violence that was at Degrassi.
That he didn't care about or prevent.
Also, he's like, I know you children make the choices when it comes to the plays we present, but like, where are the teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Apparently, because of the severed heads and stakes through the hearts, it's not appropriate, according to him. And Liberty explains that she actually wrote the play to give people hope, and counters that she wrote it specifically because the moral of the story is that good is begot of suffering, basically. And Radich is just like, no. As the official scribes of the school, I demand you whip up a musical about Degrassi and how wonderful it is within 24 hours. Dance, monkeys, dance.
Uh-huh.
Toodaloo.
Like, we could have just said, no plays this year. Like, this isn't working. He's like, children work all night.
Or, like, we're doing Disney's The Jungle Book instead. Like, so in the hospital, we then see Jimmy doing, like, physio exercises on a pull-up bar and listening to some rap. I'd like to believe it's actually Drake, but it's not. It's Everin. It's Have a Good Time by Everin, and pretty much it's going to be Everin anytime we hear rap this season, so get used to it.
Lucky.
Craig busts in and sits down, and he wants Jimmy to tell him how to handle things with Ashley, and we get a nice little callback to the movie Say Anything when Craig asks Jimmy to just tell him to stand outside her window with a stereo.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that, Alan?
I did catch that. I said Craig told him maybe you should pull a Lloyd Dobler.
Did it give you a flashback to your favorite song in the whole world?
Yes, it did.
What would that be, Alan?
In Your Eyes. Come on, Courtney.
I know.
Mr. Peter funny. Gabriel.
No.
No.
I don't think he's visiting you tonight.
No. Not again, sir.
So suddenly Jimmy throws the bar away from him in frustration, and Craig realizes that he's being kind of insensitive, talking about all of his functional leg problems with Jimmy's ex-girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Everything about this is fucked.
But Jimmy just relaxes and says that he doesn't mind because everyone else makes small talk about the weather or wants to talk about his legs.
How are them legs?
Hey, how are your legs doing? Can you feel them yet?
What's up, crazy legs, Jimmy? Remember when I called you that?
Now? You feel this? Can you feel this? How about now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Jimmy suggests that Craig get Ashley alone and talk about their problems. Duh. And Craig says that he can't because her house is Wedding Central and his house is currently being painted by Caitlin. And those are the only two places in Toronto to be alone with someone to have a conversation. There are no parks or trails or coffee shops or like a garage where his band practices. So Craig gets the idea to book a hotel room.
Yeah, he's like, if only I knew somebody who almost got molested at a hotel. Wait a second. The hotel. Yeah. So. And also when he realizes that there's a hotel, he gets like this horny look on his face.
Super horny.
Yeah. Probably sweaty too. He's sworny.
So sworny. So Craig heads back to Joey's house, where Caitlin, Joey, and Angela are enjoying a pizza supper, and the radio is playing One-on-One Equals Heartbreak by a band called Sekaiden, cool. Which honestly I'm kind of disappointed it's not turned up louder, because it is a bop. You should look it up. And Craig asks Joey to borrow his credit card. He has the money to pay him back, but he needs the actual card. And Joey asks what it's for, and Craig is evasive on that question. And Joey's got to be a total fucking idiot. Like, it's either for a hotel or a rental car.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be.
Like, my parents would laugh in my face if I ever asked them to borrow their credit card. Like, they'd be like,
yeah.
Are you fucking
before, like, fuck? Like, I can't tell you that. I just need it.
They'd be like, Ted, you're a stupid. I'd be like,
yeah.
Yeah. You're correct.
I definitely need it for a hotel room with my girlfriend. Definitely not that.
Also, Ted, you don't have a girlfriend.
So, so Joey then mentions that school called about him skipping, but Craig blows that off because it was just study hall. Joey refuses to lend him the credit card, tells him not to skip again, and then Joey goes to help Caitlin with opening a can of paint. And Craig takes the opportunity to steal the credit card.
Like, right there.
Everest Bank.
As soon as Joey turns his back, he's like, I'll just take this. It's great.
This is like an Ocean 11's heist. Here. He just turns his back, takes it, walks out the door.
Yeah.
Joey's still in the same room.
Yep.
Stupid. So stupid.
It, like, the only thing that could have made it better is if, like, Joey, you see, like, Joey turning around and he's saying to Caitlin, like, and yeah, that's, you got to lay down the law with these kids. And now, and then Craig is stealing it in the background and walking out. Like,
Dad of the year.
Yeah.
It's me.
So Craig goes to the wedding venue, which seems to be a tent set up on a lawn somewhere, maybe Ashley's backyard or Dad's backyard, not sure. But the tent is in the middle of being set up with chairs and things like that. Craig is approached by a hot girl who immediately
hello
shamelessly flirting with him for some reason.
Ugh.
Oh, Sally wants to fuck.
Oh my God.
She's like,
why does she even so have wet clothes on?
Uh-huh.
We learn that she is Christopher's sister, Sally, which will be making her Ashley's aunt to be. If you recognize her, her name was at the time Leah Cudmore. It's now Leah Renee. And she had recurring roles on a few TV series that I'm not super familiar with, like one called Satisfaction, one called The Playboy Club.
Ooh. El Supreme.
One called Blue Mountain State. Plus a bunch of voiceover work, TV movies, nothing really of note, but she kept busy. And not that she should be defined by her boyfriend, but he's at least her baby daddy as well. They have two kids together, but he's a guy named Nick Zano, who has also been in a billion things. And notably, he plays Steel in the DC Legends of Tomorrow franchise, which is basically akin to being Superman. So Sally goes on to fuck Superman in the future. It's canon.
Horny Aunt Sally gets some. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that sweet, sweet superhero franchise money. And he was also on the 90210 reboot, so it's all very incestuous, connected to Shanae Grimes, who was on that too. Anyway. So Sally, at any rate, is like, oh, you're so handsome. I'm a bad girl. And it makes no sense.
Uh-huh.
She's either a total sociopath or this is a test.
Like, right? The moment she sees him, right? Oh, hi, yeah. Craig. I'm going to be your aunt. Put your dick in my mouth. Like,
what? Order a pizza extra saucy.
And it's not like she doesn't know that it's Ashley's boyfriend. Like, right away, she's like, oh, you must be Craig.
I've heard so much about you.
He's even like, which version? The one with the horns and the pointed tail? And she's like, oh, so you're not like that anymore? Darn.
I'm convinced that this is a test. Because it's the only way that my brain can make it make sense.
No. I think that it's just, she's a skank. I think it's
solely for the purpose. Like, if I feel like she was a skank, Ashley would care more about it.
She's like, Aunt Sally, are you horny again?
Yeah, I think Ashley's just used to it. Like, don't mind her.
Yeah.
I'm zipping my boyfriend's fly again. Oh, you.
Boo.
So basically, Craig goes on this soliloquy about how he hurt Ashley and he'll never do it again. And he loves Ashley and he'll be damned if he's going to fuck anyone else this time. So, super romantic.
I'll be damned if I'm going to fuck anyone else. I wish that was the line.
Almost Shakespearean.
Just behind him while he's giving the soliloquy and hears all of it. And again, not a shred of annoyance or concern that her aunt wants to fuck her boyfriend.
She's so smitten. He's like, he's not going to fuck her. He's the one for me. Like, that's all I'm looking for. Don't fuck my aunt.
Did you just hear him not fuck my aunt? Oh my God. What a keeper.
Hand dropper.
Yeah. Right?
So Craig takes Ashley aside and he reveals that he got a hotel room so that they could get away. But Ashley's mom interrupts them and makes it clear that Craig is not welcome here. Ashley says she's just showing him out. But actually, they go to the hotel room right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Craig is coming up in the elevator with Ashley. He has her cover her eyes as they walk up to the room. And he unlocks the door. And when she opens her eyes, we can see that he has arranged a heart made of rose petals with their initials on the floor of, let's say, a pretty average hotel room.
Yeah, I love that. I love how he's got her eyes closed and it's a big secret. And yeah, they come out of the... You can tell that it's a great hotel when they come out of the elevator and there's like the Pepsi machine and snack machine there right in the corner.
Yeah, like the way he's leading her up to it, it seems like it should be like the penthouse or something. But it's impressed anyway.
I can tell by the key that he had, like the big plastic huge key, like the number 7 on it.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, that's
forced.
You got a room right across from the ice machine? That's a great idea.
And elevator.
And you won't be blum, 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 and people talking in the hall all fucking night.
Yeah, you say it's like a hotel, but I'm thinking it's more like a 2-story motel.
Well, it's funny, though, because like I would agree with you on that. But again, looking ahead to the next episode, there's a scene with Craig in an elevator, and it's like the longest elevator ride.
Floors, you're right.
And at first I was like, where the hell is he? And then it was like in the hotel. And it's like, is this? I don't know many Super 8s that have 20 stories. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, she's impressed anyway. And she says that it's perfect. And she throws herself onto the bed and she notices that he got a room with 2 beds. But then she says that they could share 1 bed, if you know what I mean.
Wink.
You only needed a room with 1 bed or 69 beds, if you know what I mean.
He's like, that doesn't logistically make any sense.
That'd be an expensive room.
It'd be big. Like.
So Craig immediately gets it and his face lights up and she asks about protection and Craig goes to the nightstand and pulls out a bunch of condoms and says he'll never be without them again.
And then in big...
Not like last time when he impregnated Manny.
Yes.
Let's call back to that right now.
In all Let's caps. Remind all caps, I wrote, referencing how he fucked somebody else and knocked her up while he was with Ashley.
No baby, no baby, no baby.
I also love the whole act, like... Yeah, I got 2 beds because, you know, we're not going to fuck, obviously. And then she's like, well, we could fuck. And he's like, pulls out 40 condoms. Oh, yeah? Like, it's like your whole gentleman's facade blown up right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, of course I have condoms because I don't want to impregnate you the way that I impregnated Manny.
Uh-huh.
And Ashley is just like, oh, you.
She's like, that makes me hornier.
Silly goose. Silly goose. Get over here.
So they
bed bug and their... comforter.
It's perfect. You're perfect. And they profess their love for each other and then they bang.
She gets the D.
Yep. And we cut to after the sexy times. and Ashley has some major JBF hair and is getting dressed.
I do like, though, like, this is very typical. Ashley is emotional and crying. Craig, flipping through TV channels. I'm like, that sounds about right.
Well, females do after they lose their virginity. They all cry.
Well, it's a good thing that she's got Tear Eater Jr. in the room with her. So
Craig has not learned about the Tear Eater from Joey, apparently. So he panics that he's done something wrong and starts apologizing profusely to Ashley for whatever he did to make her cry. And Ashley says she's happy. She's just overwhelmed. Because female hysteria, am I right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, ladies.
This is bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that post-coital dysphoria is a real disorder that people can suffer from. Uh-huh. Which gives you a rush of hormones after orgasm. Although, let's face it, come on, Ashley did orgasm.
Come on. It's true, ladies.
Anyway. So Craig is trying to make her feel better. He suggests that they take off together to Vancouver.
Again, his solution to everything.
go west.
My favorite comment on the Degrassipedia for this episode, Chidori 1000 says, Craig wasn't running away to Vancouver in season 2. He was going to British Columbia. To which the Degrassi Diary said, Vancouver is in British Columbia.
Excellent. He was going to Hope, BC.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Not Vancouver.
Port Hope, BC.
Oh, I wish.
Ashley doesn't really respond to running away together. She just says that she has to go because of her dad's rehearsal dinner, but she hates to leave him. Craig doesn't want her to leave, and Ashley makes the decision to bring him to the rehearsal party anyway because Craig is just as important to her as her dad.
Ugh. She says, I need to go. It's my dad. And Craig's like, yeah, but I'm your Craig.
Shut up, Craig.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Right, you are my Craig. You're the Craigiest Craig that ever Craigged.
You Craigged all over my leg.
Oh! Craig-o my ego.
I Craigged so hard I almost passed out.
Anyways, beautiful scene. She lost her virginity. It's wonderful, everybody. So,
oh, yeah. So special.
Yeah.
So the next scene, it starts with a deleted scene, which honestly, I'm not surprised that it was cut. It's just JT and Liberty recapping what Radish sort of said to them and working on ideas for the play. So what we actually open on is them sitting in the dot. Manny is arriving at the dot, and Liberty and JT try to sell her on the new Degrassi musical. And they tell her she'll be playing a cafeteria worker named Shelley. And Manny is a hard no.
Also, I get that, you know, some people are more mature than me, but like Manny and JT can just fucking sit there together now. And he's not bothered by it. They're just, everything's just cool. Right?
Yeah.
That's a little strange.
Yeah.
I kind of buy it more with JT and Manny just because, like, they have been friends for 100 million years and their relationship was pretty chaste.
Yeah, but he was into her and she dumped the fuck out of him and he thinks it's because of his dick size, so.
And which she's called back to a couple times.
Also, yes, and I'm trying to remember, like, I think it was when JT and Danny were talking shit about Toby, and even there, like, there was some animosity between them, right? And that was only, like, 3 or 4 episodes ago. Now, I know a whole school shooting has happened since then, so, you know, maybe things change, but... Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Manny can get that image out of her head of... JT sitting on the bed with the penis bump and he are coming in and him going, no. I don't think you would get that out of your head.
I mean, to Manny's credit, presumably she hasn't told anybody about that.
Probably. We'll see. I mean, the guys knew. Danny would have told everybody.
Yeah. Danny gave his trap shot.
They don't know exactly what happened, though. Neither JT nor Manny may have mentioned it.
Well,
like Danny knew that he had it in his possession.
Yes, and Danny knew that he has a small cock, and Manny makes fun of it because she made that comment to him. You would never be the bigger man, and Danny's the one that's like, I get it. So, anyways.
He's a grower, not a shower. So Manny's a hard no on the cafeteria employee situation. And JT agrees that it's stupid. He says he quits and he leaves. But Manny tells Liberty to go after JT, take him to her hot tub to marinate while they marinate on some new ideas.
Very strange.
Essentially.
So strange. This whole B plot is so strange.
Hated it.
So then we get cut to the rehearsal dinner / party, which is apparently at a gay bar. And I guess maybe they rented out the whole place so the kids are allowed. Mm-hmm. There's techno music playing. Toby is trying to hit on Aunt Sally, who is not having it. And quite sure of the timeline here, because usually, like, a rehearsal dinner or party, like, there's an actual rehearsal before to go over what's going to happen at the ceremony. It's the point of it being a rehearsal.
Yeah.
So I guess Craig was just, like, waiting for Ashley outside the venue the whole time?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, Ashley walks in with Craig, and Ashley's mom is not happy. She says she needs a moment alone with Ashley, and Ashley says that if she has something to say, she could say it in front of Craig. But Craig steps in and says it's okay, and they should go have a talk. And while they're talking, Ashley points out to her mom that she shouldn't be one to talk about Craig's past behavior because her dad left her for another man and now she's throwing him a wedding. If Ashley can forgive Craig, she should be able to forgive Craig. And Ashley's mom is still concerned, but Ashley tells her mom that she's really happy and her mom will just have to deal with it. So everyone is slow dancing at the party to a fairly generic R&B song that... I guess is called In My Life, based on the lyrics. There's no performer credit on it. It's only a writer's credit of Michel Vismasley and Guy Roche.
Greatest names ever.
I believe we've seen before on the Degrassi soundtrack as composing credits. So anyway, Craig and Ashley are all deliriously in love with each other, dancing. Ashley expresses how in love with him she is. And he wants to bottle it so he can be drunk on their love forever.
Jesus.
And then the moment is interrupted as more like music comes on.
You know, it's unfortunate that this didn't start playing. Just saying. Oh, here we go. Come on. All right. It's not going to do the convoy part. Anyways.
Well, my salute to the microphone is wasted. Now, I was waiting for the chorus. Uh-huh. That mighty chorus.
But, the oons, oons, oons. Actually, the bass line of it sounded to me very reminiscent of the bass line for Two Tribes by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, the lesser known second hit.
I don't think that he ended up getting that one.
Heard me.
I Shazam this, and it came up as small bar or pub ambiance dash by sound ideas.
I mean, there's again, really there's like a writer credit only track on here that's called Rave Track 3. So maybe it's that one. Not sure. But yeah, this one I couldn't place. So in my mind, it's Two Tribes by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. But Craig all of a sudden gets some kind of inspiration and tells her that he has to go somewhere, but he'll be back in half an hour. And Ashley is confused. So we cut to Craig maniacally digging through his closet, singing his song Everything's Dust to this techno music kind of, and he finds an envelope in a shoebox. And he is pretty sweaty.
It's trademark.
So he comes downstairs in a suit and says he's going to go back to the wedding. Joey asks him if everything's okay because he seems a little hyper. And he kind of tells him out of the blue that he and Ashley are back together and he must have been crazy to have ever cheated on her with Manny. And I wonder why I did that. Just to recap, it's because Ashley was like a total emo buzzkill who wouldn't put out.
Caitlin.
And she won third place in the Elvis contest, which gave her like a full frontal lobotomy on her personality. So it made them compatible again.
Yeah, nothing makes you want to fuck like dressing up like Elvis. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. Caitlin has a little awkward moment when Craig starts talking about cheating. She's like, you know, people make mistakes. Joey's standing right there. Yeah.
So back at the party, we get kind of an ominous song playing a little bit. This is Don't Cry by Jackalope.
Fast can be, you'll never catch me.
Not by...
I get it.
Not by Guns N' Roses?
No,
don't you cry tonight. So, yeah. For like 12 minutes.
Degrassi couldn't afford the rights to the Guns N' Roses catalog, unfortunately. Sorry. So we get Don't Cry by Jackalope. Ashley notices that Craig is back in a suit and is wondering what's up. And he takes her aside and shows her a ring, which we find out was his mother's. And he gets down on one knee and asks her to marry him like a crazy person.
16, right? 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. And Ashley, interestingly enough, like, she doesn't say, are you kidding?
Also, when Craig gets rejected the first time, he realizes that, oh, maybe I didn't ask properly. So he says, I want you to marry me, which surprisingly doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, like, instead of being like, are you joking? Or like, haha, like she takes him seriously right away. And she's like, no, I can't. So Craig starts to freak out, basically not realizing how crazy it is to ask your high school girlfriend at her father's wedding rehearsal to marry you.
After being together for a week, right? Like, they're back together for like a week.
Yeah. And Ashley is just like, what? And Craig storms off.
When, like, I feel like the normal reaction, and I know I'm not a teenager anymore, but, like, the normal reaction in that situation would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's true.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, I think Ashley is kind of like, what the fuck, right?
Well, for a minute, until she's like, okay!
Yeah.
So romantic! We cut to Liberty and JT in her hot tub. They're brainstorming ideas with Danny, who is snorkeling in the hot tub.
What an idiot.
Gross.
So they basically blow Danny off, and he leaves, and they come up with a song about radishes, which is meant to insult Mr. Radish.
This song makes me uncomfortable. Like, it's so bad that when they sing it, I'm embarrassed. Like, I'm watching this by myself. No one's around, and I am embarrassed when they sing this song. It's so fucking bad.
All of the composers, like, and things on Degrassi, like, I don't know why they couldn't have come up with something a little more kick-ass for them. Besides, like, to the tune of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah, like, where's fucking Louis Menet and whatever the fuck his wife that wrote all the dipshit duo? Where were they?
Alien or whatever that was called.
They hatch a plan to sing it in front of Radich the next day at rehearsal as a protest.
Great. Take a stand, kids.
So back at the party, we get a little R&B. This is a song called Bad Girl by Exquisite. And for some reason, Ashley is confiding in Sally. Wants to fuck her boyfriend again.
Can I fuck him now?
So she's confiding in Sally about her problems with Craig. And, like, how old is Sally supposed to be? She looks about 25.
Well, she acts like Ashley, she's dumb as shit, right?
She is either like supposed to be 13 years old. She is an incredible, like incredibly simple teenager, or she's like a sociopathic adult.
Because Ashley says he proposed to me, and Sally's like, "Did you say yes?"
Good guidance there.
Ashley's like, "No, I didn't," and she's like, "I thought you loved him." Like, what?
That should be a definite consideration when you're 16 years old and contemplating marriage. Like, what?
You got to lock down that big dick of Craig's. Haven't you heard?
My horny juices have destroyed my brain.
So we then get back to the hotel room, and Craig is having a violent meltdown and completely trashing the room. He's ripping art off the walls. He's destroying it. He's smashing all the lights, smashing the TV. All the plants have ripped out of their pots. We hear the phone ringing, and we presume it's Ashley calling to try to talk to Craig, but Craig is too busy destroying everything to answer it. And that is the end of the ep. To be continued.
I have to say, like, that scene must have been so much fun for him to film, like, to be in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was a little jealous. I would love to do something like that.
Yeah.
You can actually pay. There's places there you can pay to, like, be put in a room and, like, just smash it.
And they just drench you with a bucket of sweat.
That's extra.
Yeah, that's extra.
Yeah.
That's the premium package. But there are places where you can, like, go and you have a baseball bat. And they, like, set up this whole room where you can just, like, smash it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I would like that.
So, Ellen, what did you hate the most about this episode? You seem to really violently dislike it.
I did. I did not like it at all. I just... There's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't make sense. The B-plot is so fucking dumb. It's uncomfortable. They're gonna get into that dumb song in the next episode, and I can't. I just can't. Like, just if you want to have them stand up to Radich, just be like, you know what, Radich, fuck you. Like, why are you writing the dumbest song that's going to offend him, by the way? Like, he wouldn't just laugh at them.
Yeah, it's pretty in JT, right? They're not just going to be like, fuck you.
I guess not.
That nerds rebel.
Yeah, like,
stand up to Radich by doing the play that you wanted to do in the first place that he didn't approve of.
Yeah, so like, I hate that. It just, this Craig and Ashley thing, it's too out of the blue. It's too much like we're just plopped into this world where all these things are happening, and there was no, like, this is one of the more jarring instances where we could have really used some build up, and it just feels too all of a sudden. I'm like, where are we? What's happening? So, yeah, I just
so unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, it's not even, it's just, I feel like the writers or whatever are kind of stuck between this idea of they want to have those, like, Full House episodes, right, where the problems come about and are resolved in the same episode. But then they also... are not, like,
they want to do an arc, right?
Real issues that can be solved in one episode.
You can't do an arc and do, like, episodic at the same time. Like, you have
exactly.
to, yeah, you have to pick a lane.
Pick a lane. Yeah, like, I feel like they're just, like, they keep hovering between these two ideas of these, like, you know, wrapped in a bow episodes versus the arcs. And
it's not like you didn't have an opportunity. Again, I'm not big into the... Remember, Craig and Ashley got together because at the start of the school year, they were just like, this is weird, let's be friends. And then they've been hanging out, and now they're together again. And it's like, okay, just off the top of my head, Jimmy gets shot. Craig's the one that finds him right after he gets shot, so he's traumatized. Jimmy is Ashley's ex-boyfriend. Everyone's kind of fucked up. They're emotional. They get back together. Like... Right? Like, there's...
But there's a way they could have even made that work. Like, they could have made the connection more clear to, you know, Craig seeing what he saw, and then that kind of sparking this whole unraveling with the mental health thing. But they just didn't.
Yeah, it's just the fact, like, that he's in the relationship. Like, I'm in this relationship with her now, and I am so... Like, you know, this has triggered something in me. And it's like, you were in a relationship before with her, and, like, we didn't see any of this.
I mean, I don't have a ton of experience with bipolar episodes. I will say that, like, I was really good friends with a guy in high school and in my early 20s, and he ended up having bipolar disorder, and I hadn't seen him in a few months, and, like, I never saw any indication of, like, a mental health episode in him. And then I hadn't seen him in several months, and then I saw him when he was in the middle of an episode, and he was, like, a totally different person, and I was really shook by it because I didn't know, like, he was undiagnosed at that point, and I didn't know, like, I thought the person I knew was gone forever. Like, I just thought that was the person that he was now, because I didn't know anything about it. I just, like, saw him after several months, and he was just being weird, like, really weird. And so I don't know what kind of lead up he might have had over those months that I didn't see him. But in the years that I knew him, I didn't see any indication of like a mental health episodes kind of thing. So, like, I don't know if it comes out of the blue like that for some people. And, like, again, I wasn't in contact with him for those months that were leading up to this episode of his. I'm not sure what signs would have been there. But in my experience, like, you know someone, like, you're not necessarily going to see those signs before an episode happens, I guess. But,
and I get that, but as a TV show, it's your job. As a TV show, you can
tell, like, people along.
Like, I feel like
you have to lay it out for the viewer. Like, you have, like, it's fine that you have, like, you know, personally, yes, whatever we've experienced, that's fine. But you can't. That doesn't translate on TV. Like, you have to lay it out so people understand. That's the whole point, like, of awareness.
Yeah, like, we as viewers shouldn't be like, well, maybe they meant to do it like this. You know, like, TV shows, there are some parts that you can leave the viewers to kind of spell out. But again, like, something like this, we've seen hints of it, obviously, with how Craig has behaved since he's been introduced to the show. But give me some build up to this. And again, it's not just Craig, it's the Ashley part of it, too. Like, the fuck is happening here?
She kind of told
me after winning the Elvis contest, and now she's totally chill with everything.
Yes.
Like, can't you conceptualize it?
I keep forgetting.
She got better.
I just, the whole she's point.
Now she's a cool girlfriend. Yeah. Cool with everything. The now she puts out.
Degrassi is to bring awareness to issues that most or a lot of other television shows won't or don't, right? Like, that's the appeal of Degrassi. That's what's got them famous. But I just feel like they're doing an incredible disservice to, you know, they want to raise awareness of mental illness and bipolar. And I'm sure not very many kid shows have broached this subject, but it's just, you can't just make it appear and disappear into an episode and think that you've done something good, because I just don't think that you have.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know what happens with Craig down the line either.
I don't know
if it shows him managing anything. And also, we haven't even gotten a diagnosis. That comes in the next, spoiler alert, in the next episode.
Yeah, what? Yeah. We don't even know what's happening with Craig yet. That's right, officially. What?
Segue. What's up next week? Looks like we're going to be tackling Voices Carry Part 2. Where will Craig get will more crazy stuff happen? We don't know. It hasn't happened yet. We don't know.
Let's go watch the episode, everybody, and find out what happens, and then come back and do the podcast.
I feel like we should stick a pin in it probably until next episode. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Please make sure to join us next time for part 2 of Voices Carry, where we don't know what's going to happen. Arlo, you can follow me on Instagram at @ArloeScott. Ted?
Ted at SayWa3 on the Instagram machine. Alan?
I got lots of them. Slip with 5 eyes on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and then you can follow us at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, and follow our TikTok, which is getting like some follows.
Pretty good.
Yeah, like some, yes. Like when we talked about this last time, by the way, it's at Narbos and Broomheads on TikTok, but when we talked the last time about this and I introduced it, it was like, I kind of spam followed a bunch of people and got some people to spam follow me back, and we'll see what happens, and it's not really real yet. Well, now we're getting real stuff, comments and the same people liking the videos, and so yeah, it's happening. So I guess I'll keep doing it. There you go, Courtney.
You have definitely made me a celebrity in my home because of whatever algorithms there are. Piper scrolls to TikTok and all of a sudden the podcast appears and she thinks that's amazing. So
with us swearing, by the way.
Yeah, so like, that's great. Listen, though. Just mute it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not mommy saying.
My mom didn't permit saying this.
But yes, I'm up in Ottawa. Oh yeah, you already know that.
Beep, 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 beep. Here we go. So we crash the gate doing 98. I says, let them truck
roll. All right. Woo-hoo! Yes, it's Convoy Courtney coming at ya. You can follow me on Instagram, courtney.1293. And that's it.
Breaker, breaker.
You beautiful sky. Convoy.
We're also on Instagram, by the way, at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast.
At Narbos and Broomheads Freedom Podcast.
Yeah.
Night, everybody.
Bye.
My body, my choice.
Bye.
Trucking an F, and the F is for freedom.
Well, I just said I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about killing. I would never get girls out of my house. Maybe I would. I would walk around the cafe just to get to call my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so cool. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, okay.